Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Ice Mountain West Wire basketball podcast. That's right, we're talking hoops. Like I promised, if you heard our prior Bull football extravaganza first preview look, MWR.com, where you can find us. What do we call it, Eli? Kind of hoping Nevada brings into page views and people read about it, and not San, and maybe San Jose State getting a win.
Are those
two big things people like?
Yeah, some fun at the top and some fun at the bottom, that's for sure.
Oh, man. We're talking hoops. It's been a while. We can make the lame excuse and say, or the actual excuse, we're busy. Lame excuse, the league's so bad we don't want to talk about it very often.
Yeah, we're just not in a good mood with the other 10 teams in the league right now.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of talk about what's been going on the past couple weeks a little bit. Nothing in too depth, because I think we talked right around Maui time or Feast Week. But since then, it's we do our power polls. It's Nevada, I guess Fresno and Utah State and everybody else, and then San Jose and Air Force at the bottom, right? Is that kind of how we're going?
Yeah, I mean, hey, San Jose State got a win this week. They got more wins than New Mexico and San Jose State combined.
Oh!
So how about that?
That's
the data.
They get Northern Arizona Saturday. That's a maybe.
It's a winnable game.
NAU's 2-6, so there you go.
All right.
Hold on, wait. Let me see if I can pull it up here if they have it. Oh, they don't have Pick Center. Dang, let's give the BPI challenge right off the bat. But, okay, seriously, no. The league, it's – there was 1 week in our power poll. We do every week. It hasn't changed too much where, the top five teams won every game and the bottom half lost every game, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned something about, like, KenPom top 400 losses or something. What was –
I could probably pull that up.
It's the same type of deal where, great, Nevada gets to win, Fresno, all these top, I think, 100 wins.
Oh, yeah, I got it. As of December 10th, Nevada, Utah State, and Fresno State combined were 25-4 with seven top 100 wins against the KenPom, or seven top 100 KenPom wins, zero sub-100 KenPom losses, and the rest of the league is 30-39. With one combined top 100 KenPom win and 24 sub 100 losses.
That's not good. Ouch, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to the I don't know what the deal is. Like, here's a couple interesting things. Justin James is really good. He had that 30-20 game. But when I made my bet early in the season or preseason, like, say, hey, watch him go off and score 30-40 points, 20, whatever, a ton of points every game and be in contention, I think I have to throw that out the window because he's not winning. They're not winning even though he's playing one of the best in the conference. And so that's one prediction. Is that safely to count out Eli already?
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe because he leads the conference in just about every major statistical category, and Wyoming is terrible.
3-7.
Yeah, they've had some really bad losses at home. Losing to Denver, losing to Niagara at home.
Northern Colorado at home.
UC Santa Barbara, like we could keep going.
The Gauchos.
It's been brutal. And Justin James just can't do it all by himself. And so I've heard a lot of people talking about how this might impact the trajectory of his post-Wyoming career. And I don't really know how much it will impact it, but it's just a shame to see someone who's of his caliber that's on the team that's struggling so much.
Yeah, and this team has been pretty good in the past couple of years, like when they had Josh Adams, Larry Nance, even the last couple of years, Hayden Dalton. It's just unfortunate that Allen Edwards isn't bringing a good talent around him. That's part of it too, right? When you have a team where you have a great home court advantage, you have a coach we thought was pretty good, at least maybe still TBD at the moment, and they still have four players like averaging more than, I guess depends who's Hunter Thompson hasn't played every game, but they have a couple guys who could score, but it's more of bringing talent around him. And it's like, had him and Hayden Dalton, they could make a run. Like, they beat Nevada last year, remember? They beat him at home. But why are they? It's just, I'm going to say it. They're not bringing in good players around him, and it's maybe a little coaching, but dang, if he had a decent one or two guys, put him on any other team, Well, no, I can't say that because a lot of teams are terrible. Put him on some teams, he'd be great. And he's like, even with the team so bad, you have to kind of watch what he's doing, keep one eye on what he's doing, because that 30-20 game, who saw that coming? Nobody. That's like, what, five times in the past couple decades? Five times this decade or something like that that's happened? And a loss to boot? It's like, come on.
Yeah, they didn't even win that night. And things are only getting worse because their senior point guard, Nye Redding, was involved in an altercation this past weekend. He's been suspended indefinitely. And that already adds on to all the injuries that Wyoming has suffered and the influx of new talent because of last year's graduated starters. So it's just kind of a mess right now in Laramie. But they're not the only team that's having their issues.
Oh, no, there's plenty of teams. You have
Mexico.
New Mexico. Let's go to Mexico.
All right.
They are. I would say at this point, they're probably – are they the biggest disappointment maybe so far?
Yes. Yeah, I would say so.
Because also, they have eligibility issues. Is it
Carlton Bragg.
Yeah, I was going to say Colton Bragg. I knew it wasn't. Carlton Bragg. Should be back. He's going to be back in December, right, in a week or so?
I believe he misses just one more game and then he's back.
Maybe that could be something to get them back on the right track. But we all thought, like, okay, they should be – I know they had the injury preseason, which is huge for their guys coming to foot – was it the Achilles or foot injury? They're missing some players there. But they – even with that, like, okay, this will be fine. Because last year, they weren't anything special until early February when they started finally winning.
Mm-hmm.
But they are sitting at an abysmal – I guess only 4-4, but it seems worse than 4-4.
It feels much worse.
Because they've lost part of it. Here it is. 3-0 losses. They don't just lose to New Mexico State. They get obliterated by 35 points. St. Mary's, who's probably a little bit better than we thought, 25 points. Then they lose to Colorado. Not just lose, but blow a 17-point home lead. You should never blow huge leads at the Pit against any team. And Colorado, they're pretty good. They're, what, 8-1, 9-1. But, man, you have that huge lead, and then Paul Weir just storms off in the press conference. Like, I'm out of here, guys.
Yeah, it's certainly not what we expected, even with the injury to Jaquan Lyle. I didn't think that things would go south this fast, but the defense has just been atrocious. They can't stop anyone. I think the fewest points that they've allowed this year is 75. And I know that they run up-tempo. They run up and down the floor, so opponents are going to score more points, but they're not even efficient defensively. They're 255th in adjusted defensive efficiency. It hasn't been working so far. Paul Weir has said, though, that Carlton Bragg has been a big-time leader in practice and off the court and such. So once he returns, I think that does help this team. But to think that that's going to just redirect all the issues that they have overnight, I think I don't think that's going to happen. But something needs to change because what's going on right now is not working, and a lot of people are questioning some of Paul Weir's coaching techniques with such a focus on things like passing deflections. I think a lot of people are kind of fed up about that now. It was working last year, and now it's just kind of
gimmicky.
It kind of is, and what he does with his starting lineup, because New Mexico has started slow out of the gates in almost every one of their games this year, minus the Colorado game. And even when they have won, and their four wins, they've beat mediocre opponents by just one or two possessions. So, and it's not going to get any easier because they have Penn on the 22nd, and Penn just beat Villanova, and then they have
Miami
Nevada.
Wins, yeah. Miami, come on, don't forget about that one.
Yeah, they have Nevada in their second conference game at home, and so it's certainly not going to get any easier than it is right now.
There's also the pregame fight.
Yeah, the locker room issues with Corey Manigault, it's been very hectic for this team.
Also, the tip drill or whatever, the flexion thing, I get it. It's kind of fun to do. Even last year, I thought it was kind of odd, but it worked. So it's where it's like, okay, it's odd, but it works. He's a genius. It's odd, it doesn't work. He's terrible. It's clearly not either way. But if you want to be a team that's, like, not to be taken seriously, but to be just consistent-wise, wouldn't you want to have basically an starting lineup that's about 85%, 90% the same every game? So you can, instead of playing a guy who's happened to have a great practice day because he wanted to practice and some other guy felt crappy because he ate too much before he practiced. I don't know, where he wasn't trying as hard. And so he doesn't get to start or something. Some guy rarely plays starts. I haven't looked over I could probably look now the minute kind of discrepancy, which they play a lot of guys. They have a ton of guys who play 20-plus minutes a game. But consistency is a big deal. If you have the same guys playing in rotation, that's why there's rotations. I get what he's doing for motivation to practice hard, because he's thinking, okay, if you practice that hard, games will be easier. You're all motivated to want to get playing time, which is great. I get, but there needs to be a different way. Don't just go off some obscure stat where guy who has long arms plays more because he has long arms and can knock the ball away in practice.
Yeah, yeah.
Get it together and just have your starting lineup and go for it, because, like I said, just consistency. It's like, I was trying to think of an example, but another better one of a certain team, but just have your same guys out there playing. It's going to be better because you get used to each other. There's a lot of new players on this team as well. It's not the same group from last year, but they're a disappointment. Boise State's a disappointment. Well, they play Oregon, so that's double disappointment. So who knows what'll happen.
And they have to play them twice, too.
Twice, home and home. Hey, not a ranked Oregon team, so there's that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Boise's just a... There wasn't the okay teams, at least, I guess. Grant Gain in Illinois State's not too bad, but Idaho State still. Whew.
And they're playing tight with Division II Central Washington for quite a while. Alabama State, it took forever for them to pull away. They actually trailed at 5 at halftime to one of the worst teams in Division I basketball. They struggled against Jackson State. They're 347th in KenPom right now.
Two SWAC teams there. Come on, SWAC.
Oh, gosh. It's just a rebuilding year, it seems.
It's bad everywhere. It's like Boise State. Yeah, UNLV thought it might be better. They're getting fussy about what's going on. You know what's the most interesting thing I would say in the league is that the two new coaches, first-year coaches, are having the best seasons outside of, to Nevada.
Yeah.
With Craig Smith and
Justin Hudson.
Yeah, Hudson. Yeah, Justin Hudson at Fresno. And then Fresno, Deshaun Taylor, was a dislocated elbow. Is that the issue?
Yeah, he's going to be out at least a month, too. So even at the top, there are some dents in the system. Yeah, it's tough. But I think Fresno State will be okay because the guards that they do have behind Taylor have been producing even before his injury. So they should be all right. But again, it just makes things that much more challenging.
And I'm going to say now, that's a one big league no matter what, I'd say. Almost no matter what.
If Nevada doesn't win the tournament, then that changes things. But as of right now, Nevada far and away is the only team that is even in contention for an at-large bid.
Yeah, I know what I realized too, which is awesome. They're a Western team. If they kind of do their trajectory, they're probably maybe 3 seed at worst, possibly. Mm-hmm. Regional NCAA tournament down the street from me. So maybe I'll see Nevada in person finally. That's a selfish thing that hopefully happens. But at first, now look at who they play. They got Cal, who's okay. Tennessee Martin, whatever. UVU's not great. They'll probably be third in the WAC. San Jose State, CSU's, So they don't really have any big challenge until like Utah State, and that's not until the first week of January, or second week, actually. So maybe they can weather the storm and win most of those games. I don't know. We shouldn't officially count it out, because I've seen a few places, Utah State getting at-large consideration, Fresno State as well. So we shouldn't say for certain, but it's going to take a lot.
It is going to take quite a bit. And I wanted to ask you this and get your opinion on it, because it's been something that has kind of come to mind these last few days as the bottom eight teams have struggled. Do you think that, at least from Nevada's perspective, with the way the rest of the league going, would you prefer the rest of the league to be down so that you can just blow out opponents and just rack up wins? Or do you think that this makes things a bit more challenging in terms of seeding and how the NCAA tournament selection process will go?
I would say, what did St. Joe's do a couple years ago? Well, no, not even St. Joe's, but Gonzaga got a 1 seed by playing a West Coast Conference, which is, ninth at best in RPI, Ken Palm. So it may not even really matter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but really, seriously, if you're a top 3 seed, what's the difference between a 1, 2, and 3 seed? You know what I mean? You sort of protected in your region if you're a top 4 seed, right? Isn't that how they do it now? You kind of try to protect 1 through 4. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So basically, if you're even top 4, I'd rather be 3, because 4 gets a little bit dicey after that first, if you get that first win. But if you're a top 3 seed, you're fine. And so if they win, they're stuck around 7. They dropped after beating Arizona State, beating a decent Grand Canyon team. It's not that big a deal. It's just they're that much better than the league. It doesn't really matter. But if the league was better, all it would mean would be it would help them get maybe number 1 seed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if they go undefeated, which isn't completely out of the realm of possibility right now, KenPom has the unbeaten percentage right now at 12.5. So it's not one out of every 8 years they would go undefeated in this situation. I think if they do enter the NCAA tournament undefeated, they will get a one seed.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Do they?
Yeah.
Is there a way to organize? I'm looking at that KenPom page now. Is there a way to organize by nationally for that undefeated record-wise?
No, but I know that I don't think any other team has higher than a 1% chance.
Because there's only, what, 8 undefeated teams, right? Maybe 10?
I think there's 9 left, maybe 8.
Not mad. I was going through it the other day. Like, Houston's undefeated. That's probably the next closest that might have a chance, like, that percentage-wise, because they're in the American Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Which, better than the Mountain West, but still not, like, what, the Big 12 or Big 10 or whoever else undefeated. Like, Virginia's still undefeated. Stuff like that, so...
Yeah, I want to say no other team has higher than a 1% chance. Buffalo is, who's a pretty solid offense, they're only at 0.2.
And they're undefeated, Buffalo, still?
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the score last week. I'm like, I was just like, why is it Buffalo? Is it getting one of the, just some score updates for something? I'm like, I know women's Buffalo basketball has been good. I'm like, is this men's basketball? Are they really that good? Apparently they are.
Yeah, they've been playing pretty good basketball.
Interesting. Yeah, Houston's 0.07% chance of going undefeated the rest of the way.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Thursday, they play Utah State.
Okay.
Down at Hawfines Pavilion there in University of Houston. So, but with Nevada, like, how high can they get ranked? Because you say number one seed if they go undefeated, which possibly. Well, I guess really good possibility with that. How are they higher in the polls? Because they've dropped the past couple weeks. They beat Arizona State, who is ranked neutral site. Grand Canyon neutral site. Who else did they beat? USC at USC.
And Loyola Chicago on the road as well.
And they're okay, but still, a decent win. They keep dropping. Loyola Chicago's 5-5, so maybe we hold off on saying that's a good win, really. That's a payback win.
Yeah. It's a decent road win.
Yeah, it's a road win. They're still a solid team, even though they've lost, what, 4 or 5? Not good. But what will it take to get them in top 5? I contend it'll take other teams losing ahead of them, not necessarily what Nevada does, but what other teams do around them.
Mm-hmm. They certainly aren't going to leap anyone, especially with how the conference has played out, because the best win that Nevada can get from here on out, minus the South Dakota State game, is against, what, Utah State, Fresno State, San Diego State, if they turn it around. And that's not going to that's not going to get AP voters' attention. It just won't.
I got one AP voter who's a dummy, but we're not going to talk about that guy.
Oh, gosh. it's been a long week.
That's why... Gary Parrish poll tax is the best thing to read all the time.
It is, yeah.
Not just because of the past week of some dummy with some arbitrary rule of playing non-road games. But
that was so stupid.
It's so dumb. So we'll get into it because we'll have some fun with it. Because there's other stuff to get to, and we've only done 15 minutes. So we're going to talk more hoops. So I don't care. I don't remember the guy's name. He's some guy in Michigan, whatever. Doesn't rake Tennessee, Kansas, and Duke. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are the top 3 teams in the country, if I'm not mistaken. Or right around there in the AP poll.
Mm-hmm. They're all top 5, I believe.
He decides not to rank them because they're not going the road. Even though, if you read Gary Parrish poll attacks, which you should every week, it's stupid, arbitrary remark about him. It's also, it's not just it's dumb. He wants attention. I know why he's doing it, so I didn't link to it. I just screenshot, like, hey, read it at your own risk. I actually did read it because I wanted to kind of know why. Even though he does this every year. It's not a
His polls are consistently terrible.
I mean,
this is not the first time. No. I'm pretty sure Gary Parrish rips him like every other week.
And one of the first comments on Twitter was Sam Vecenie over The Athletic, who does like NBA draft and college stuff too. He put a comment, hey, you need to get to the point where he put up, I think, Iowa State, who lost to, I think it was Iowa State, who lost to Michigan State, his own team he covers, and moved them up like 10 spots.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, there are some inconsistencies with what he said, too, because there are, like, there's a team that won on the road against a team that he has in his top 25, and he dropped them, like, 5 spots.
Well, I think also Arizona State was one of those two where they didn't play a road game.
It might be.
I don't know. But it's – okay, you can have – if you're going to do that – no, it is – no, it
no,
is
– don't do it.
Yeah, well, don't do it. But here's the thing. Arizona State, who I believe he had ranked – they don't have a road game. They had one scheduled at San Francisco, postponed due to, I think it's during the campfire up in Northern California. Mm-hmm. So they have not played a road game. They had the neutral versus Nevada, but I believe he had them ranked. So he's just looking at the top teams who's really good and say, oh, they haven't played a road game, not going to rank them, but not going through and doing, hey, if you're going to do it right, even if it's stupid. Be consistent with your stupidity.
Yeah, you have to be consistent.
And And you can be a guy like I used to do a poll, like a top 25 college football poll, where it was kind of like that, but not really. I would basically, and it's only like week one or week two. This college basketball has been around for 6 weeks. So it's not like he was. Here's the thing: he's been ranking Duke, Kansas all along until now.
Yeah, that's the part that doesn't get me. It's like you have to play a road game by the fifth weekend, or else you're gonna get dropped from the AP poll.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Not a requirement either, as mentioned. You don't have to play a road game until league play.
Speaking of which, Nevada has not been at home since November 19th.
That's right.
That's kind of crazy.
They're back at Lowler. Like it's weak. They're back when they play. Is it? We'll get to them. Was it
South Dakota State?
Who put up 90 in the first half?
Yeah.
Did they win that game? I'm assuming yes. Of course.
Yeah.
So okay, let's get back to Nevada. Here. We'll get off the stupid poll stuff. Just disregard. But the only way Nevada's gonna get top five is if like Kansas loses, Duke loses, and like Gonzaga or Michigan stuff like that lose, and they'll. Who knows if they? Plus, also Nevada. Don't be losing by 15 points because that'll come back to bite them big time. If they, you can't always pull a Texas, Cincinnati, Arizona State, or other teams this year down double digits and come back and win USC as well. It's like that's my big concern with them is like, don't get behind by 10 or 15 points and have to come back. Be ahead.
Yeah, eventually, it's not going to happen the way that they think it's going to happen.
You're correct. You can't, it's just that's lame. But they have a home game finally. Last home game was UMass, is that it? Or was that a neutral game? That's Vegas.
It was, Cal Baptist on November 19th.
So, yeah, Cal Baptist. So, you got that. They got great. They have South Dakota State, who, like I said, put up 90. They are sitting at a solid 9-3. They have a new head coach because Craig Smith, as we know, is now head of Utah State. They scored 139 points in that game. They scored 101 versus Southern.
Yeah, these guys can score. They have probably the – I don't know about the best mid-major player because there are quite a few good players, but Mike Dom is certainly one of the best players in the country. And then David Jenkins, who I believe he was down to Boise State and South Dakota State during his recruitment, he's been phenomenal as well. So they have two really good scorers on this team.
Yeah, they played Memphis pretty close in the road. Who Penny Hardaway, man? Who Memphis gonna be back in like 2 years? Maybe they're really good. Recruit. He's stealing guys from Kentucky. So watch out, Cal. He's coming to get you.
Yeah.
But this game, like, okay, let's play it real quick because we're playing our BPI game because that's what we do here because it's ridiculous and it's hard. So this game is Saturday afternoon, so hopefully you hear this by then. Or excuse me, Saturday evening, 6 Pacific time out there at Nevada. So if you're around, go check it out. Get tickets, go see the game, have fun. What do you think the BPI is for this game?
I'll say Nevada at about 81%.
You're getting better. 91.7%.
91, okay.
That's a lot. They are favored, like what KenPom has them by a solid 16 point. That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
Because
especially against a team that can score as well as South Dakota State can.
And wait, how bad Nevada's defense is as well. Not bad, but not good. Right? Is that a good way to put it? They are 32 defensive efficiency, so that's still pretty solid.
It's getting better. It still has quite a ways to go, and they're going to be tested on Saturday.
What does turnover percentage mean? How many times do you turn the ball over?
It's the percentage of possessions that end with the turnover.
So they're not good doing that defensively, because 283 and bright red is not good. As far as green is good, red is bad. I want to see this game. This could be a sneaky good game, because... Mm-hmm. Like you said, the way South Dakota scores, the way Nevada likes to have drama, maybe that's what they're doing. They're just messing around. Like, let's get them a 10, 12 point. They don't show them who we are. But no, don't do that. But the tendency to be down, and if this South Dakota State team gets hot, which is very likely, this could be a game where it's like whoever gets to 100 points wins.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, statistically – South Dakota State is the third best shooting team in the nation right now, and they're second in three-point percentage. So Nevada has to be defensively. And the other question mark that people have noted for this game is that South Dakota State is expected to play quite a bit of zone defense, and that's been a bit of an issue for Nevada's offense when they get cold from the perimeter. I know that the Martin twins have really struggled lately from on their jump shots and from three-point range. And so if they come out cold, they're probably going to be in an early hole again. that they'll have to dig back out of. But we'll see how this one plays out. I still think I'm comfortable with Nevada winning by 10 points or so, but this could be a very good game.
It very well could be. Also, just attack the basket. You get the free throw line. Just go do that if your threes aren't dropping.
Yeah, Caleb Martin did an excellent job at that in the Arizona State game because he was really struggling from the field, and once he started attacking, he heated up, and that really helped out the team in the second half.
So how big a deal that Lindsey Drew's out for the year?
You know, I think as the season progressed, I think more people figured that it wasn't going to happen, that he wasn't going to come back, and especially with how the team is set up now with Cody Martin running the point, and you have guys like Jazz Johnson and Nizre Zuzwa who have been really good at the guard positions. He was probably going to be somewhat buried in the depth chart, even as how good he is. And so if they're able to get another year of eligibility out of him and still keep this thing going, they're 10-0 right now, and they seem to certainly be on the rise. I think it's fine, but there probably are going to be instances this year where some Nevada fans wonder, it sure would be nice to have Lindsey Drew right now for his perimeter defense or his passing or all the intangibles that he brings to the basketball court.
So, okay, as we went to, he had the hip surgery he's having. He had the Achilles. We saw that right in front of us. That was pretty nasty last March. So you have Nevada. They got – this is kind of going through what they have this week. They have South Dakota State. Is that Arkansas? No, it's Akron. Sorry, AKR. Oh, hey, should I – I should ask people this. So December 29th is Saturday afternoon. Nevada plays at Utah. Should I go to that game?
Of course you should go.
It's a noon tip on the good old Pac-12 network. Maybe I will go check them out in person to go. Maybe I'll see if I can – I'll send a quick email to their basketball guru there and see if they can let me in because I don't want to pay for tickets. I'm just saying, if you can go for free, like, it's I guess some decent, well, probably some pizza for games. It's not football; they feed you nicely. But I think I will see if I can head down there for a early afternoon basketball game to see a route of my Utah team losing to Nevada.
Are you confirming that being a route?
Oh, Utah's terrible. Come on, okay. Really quick, BPI right now 84% chance for Nevada to win.
Yeah, I think that's about accurate. I had some high hopes for this Utah team. I wrote their page in the Lindy's magazine. I thought this team was going to be pretty good, but that has not been the case so far.
I think that was like four starters from last year's team.
They did lose quite a bit, but they had some pretty solid newcomers, or at least what I thought were going to be solid newcomers.
Their victories: Maine, Mississippi Valley State, Grand Canyon, and Tulsa.
Like a UNLV schedule.
Oh. This is the most interesting game on the schedule. Not to go into make Utah talk, but they play at Kentucky, which is kind of a big deal because it's Kentucky and they played in the 98 title game, which Utah should have won. But I won't go regress blowing a double-digit first-half lead. The game's at 5 p.m. Eastern today on Friday. It's on ESPN2. So that's like kind of a weird time for a basketball game.
It is odd.
I think it's part of some tournament type deal or maybe some event, but I just happen to see him like, oh, it's a 3 o'clock game for me. All right, then. That's just my little side thought. All right, let's get to San Diego State here really quick because we want to kind of get a few more things in here to keep it going. We'll get to scheduling later, maybe play some BPI games. So, actually, no. Yeah, I already said I went to Aztecs. So, Eli, what's the deal with the Aztecs? On the court stuff, first of all.
On the court, okay.
Specify, yes, that's very important.
It was a really bad week last week, and we'll go into why it got worse. But San Diego State picked up a road win in the Mountain West Missouri Valley Challenge against Illinois State. They played pretty well in that game. And then they hosted San Diego, who is...
Toreros!
who is a pretty decent WCC team. I watched them play against UW. Earlier this year, and I was fairly impressed by them. They had a win against Colorado as well, and they played Ole Miss pretty tightly. But San Jose State just did not play well in this game. They lost by 12 points. I think they're 2-2 in their last four games against the Toreros, the other one being the Petco Park loss. Defense just continues to be an issue, and then they followed that up. They went on the road to play Cal and Berkeley. And the defense was basically non-existent. They let Cal just shoot whatever they want. The Golden Bears were 13 of 28 from deep and also got to the line 20 times. They just got shredded on the defensive end. And although the offense played really well, Jeremy Hensley had a really good game. It was good to see him knock down shots from the perimeter where he struggled recently. But they score 83 points on the road, and they are unable to come up with the victory. And now this team, who is consistently known, at least program-wise, as one of the stronger defensive programs in on the West Coast, they're now 143rd in defensive efficiency. And that is foreign to what this team has been in the past, especially under Steve Fisher. Anything besides top 20 nationally in defense was a massive disappointment. And now they are average on the national scale.
Yeah, and then you have guys like Matt Mitchell, who's inconsistent scoring. He'll score 10 points here, 20 here, 13 here, 7 here. They have talent on this team, but it's just – it's okay, even if the defense wasn't doing its thing, I feel they have enough offensive players to stick with games. Like with Jalen McDaniels, Devin Watson, those guys should be able to score points and do good. And Cal's not a great team either. They're just an okay team in the Pac-12. They're not like some powerhouse basketball program. And they give up 89. It's like they used to beat every team in state that they played because UCLA will never play them. Like USC doesn't want to play them. So they'll go beat Cal. They'll go beat Stanford. They'll go beat San Diego, I guess, sometimes. Half the time.
and Cal's bad. They entered the game having only beaten Hampton and Santa Clara. And they got throttled by Yale, Temple, St. Mary's, and also San Francisco before that game.
So do we, before we get to the bad stuff for San Diego State quickly, can they turn it around like last year? Because last year they weren't that great and figured they came on so strong, they played so well that it was kind of carry over. And it's not, is it losing like they lost Hudson to Fresno to be their head coach? Is it losing him? Is it just different coaching style? Even though Dutcher's been around forever, hanging around with Fisher, excuse me.
Steve Fisher, yeah.
Yeah, thinking of Alford for some reason. No, Fisher forever. And so you'd think it'd be a similar type of play and team. But they're sitting at, they are 6-4, but it's like a bad 6-4 because go back farther. They get thrashed by Duke, which a lot of people do, but they have to make a huge comeback versus Xavier. They're not competitive versus Iowa State. And their best win's probably Illinois State, which is okay, but they're just not. Actually, can we make the case for Texas Southern being their best victory?
I think Xavier probably is.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, Xavier's half kidding.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, no, I mean Texas Southern's not a bad basketball program either. But I think San Diego State and New Mexico are kind of in the same boat here. They both have a ton of talent on their rosters, good coaching, but they've just been so bad defensively. And I think it's so much more challenging to win when you're bad on the defensive end than on the offensive end, because just about any team can get hot. I mean, look what Cal did against San Diego State just this past week. These guys can obviously score. McDaniels is an excellent scorer. Watson and Hemsley. Jordan Shackle has come on quite a bit. So the team can put up points, but until they start playing some defense, especially on the perimeter, I think they're going to continue to have struggles. If San Jose State were to match up with Nevada right now, they'd get absolutely pummeled.
Exactly. All right, so let's get to the bad stuff here for San Diego State. There's two bad things. One's really bad, and one's just kind of stupid. So if you haven't read it, go read over at San Diego Union Tribune. There's stuff going on. So I've kind of skimmed through this. So basically, Jalen McDaniels did stupid stuff in high school for sharing a sex video with girls he was with. So first off, your high school kids, don't be stupid. Just because come on. Why do you want to? There's reasons people do it, but why are you sharing stuff like that to other people? Because that's a big deal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're embarrassing people. It's stupid. It's whatever.
Especially as a minor as well.
Yeah, that's well. They're both minors, but still, regardless, it's come on. It can be embarrassing. It can be humiliating. You could use it for blackmail. Some people do. But, okay, that's bad enough as it is because he's being sued civilly. So nothing, like, it's not what happened was they're both consensual for it, but it's why are you sharing this stuff? That's where the issue comes into play, the big issue. So, Eli, why is he still on the basketball team, and why is he still on scholarship? Why is he not even suspended or anything?
Well, the explanation that Brian Dutcher gave in the program game is that this incident didn't happen while he was at San Diego State. Both of these acts, like you said, were when he was with Federal Way High School in Seattle as a senior in high school. And so that makes things a bit more complicated. That doesn't mean I agree with it, but I think they're like it makes things more complicated. The fact that this didn't occur while he was on San Jose State's campus, and I think Dutcher said, I don't know if he actually said this, but it sounded like if it were to had happened on the San Jose State campus, then he would have been suspended. But for now, they're just playing it by ear.
Because here's the thing. It's like, I get that. Well, not just I get that, but I understand what they're trying to do. And this isn't a, like, he won't go to jail for this. Because what's happened, it's not like he's being, like I said, civil. So monetary payback. You know what I mean? They're looking at civil, which is a monetary exchange of some sort. It's not anything where they did against their will or anything. It's filming this, which is, and then sharing it, which is a crime. So I get it wasn't always at school. And then there's people, oh, there's all stuff going around the country all the time. It's happening now. People from years ago, stuff happens, they get in big trouble. I'm not saying he should be kicked off the team because you're a dumb high school kid, right? I've done nothing like that, but I've done dumb stuff. I do dumb stuff now. Probably did something dumb last week. But it's a bad look to say to not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because but to him, like, to get kicked off the team, that's probably extreme. Because then, like, part of the article, they look at the NFL and Kareem Hunt situation, where the only reason they did something was because, oh, TMZ paid for video and NFL is not going to pay for videos. So I was like, well, if you want the truth, and that's clearly different than what happened here because Kareem Hunt was kicking and beating up on ladies. Mm-hmm. So it's like, no charges were filed, so Chiefs did nothing. Okay, that's fair. It's not the same at all. It's just a situation where it didn't happen at the location at the Chiefs or Kansas City, happened in the offseason, not with the team. I would think you would want to, like, if you figure he's going to be on the team because he's sued civilly, why not have him say, okay, you're going to sit for a couple games or something? Or because who knows how long these things take, too, right? It could take a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure how long it'll take to get this sorted out if he has to travel back and forth to Washington or anything. But have him, I don't know. I don't give out punishment what it is, but just have him kind of, don't just say it wasn't at our school, so we're not going to do anything. He's probably changed, different person a couple years later, because it was a couple years ago. Maybe he's a different guy. Most people aren't, they go to college for a while. Move away from home, you get more jerks, you're older, just more responsibility. So who knows if, I don't want to speculate about what he's done since then, but he's probably a different person, which some people are. But then again, you can't just let it go for free and say, hey, you, it's just, the response is bad. Like, say you're going to sit for 3 games and that's it, because it wasn't like he hurts the physical, whatever, you know what I'm getting at. It's a, something bad happened, clearly, that the other party didn't want to get out or happen, because who wants to, why are you sharing that crap and stuff? There's no point. It's between those two people. Was it knowingly they did that?
The taping? The sex was consensual, but yeah, they were not aware that he was filming it.
Ah, okay, there we go. I read through part of it, must have missed up. Okay, that's a huge deal.
And then, well, it gets worse.
And then sharing, right, as well, beyond
he
that.
He shared it, and he also shared it with his high school basketball coach.
What?
At Fedway. And
dude,
the coach did not do anything about it, and the school, and the high school was aware of it, and they did not do anything about it. And then I believe the two women came forward to San Jose State and the police in San Diego, and they also, I don't believe, acted on it. So the school is now, the Federal Way High School is now involved in a tort claim. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth like $3.5 million because of their negligence.
Yeah, that's a huge deal.
Because they didn't handle it at all. All that I saw in Ziegler's report, I believe, was that McDaniels and his coach and the girls and their parents met after one of the practices to discuss what happened, and then they were forced to delete the videos and apologize. And so that's not going to really hold weight in this situation now that all these legal things are being involved.
Yeah, the school. Oh, gee, that's even worse.
So the high school is going to be in some trouble, and especially the high school basketball coach, who has been put on leave, and he is actually, I believe, in the Federal Way High School Hall of Fame. Like, the whole thing's just a huge mess.
Yeah, that's huge. Like, if he showed the coach would be like, "What are you doing?"
Mm-hmm. We'll be like, yeah, no, he just carried on from what it sounded like.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that. See, I don't want to spend too much time on this because it's a pretty sensitive thing. I don't want to say anything stupid because I say stupid stuff probably. But something, if with all that, okay, with that extra information I did not get to or didn't see, you probably heard a bit more because it's up in your area, kind of, so probably a few different stories.
Yeah, front page of the Seattle Times today, yeah.
Exactly. And so with that information there, do you think anything should have been done more? I think we both agree he should maybe chill for a week or two at least or something. But knowing that that stuff happened, that should – did Dutcher even know that type of stuff? I don't know. How much did he know when he levied down no punishment?
I don't know, but I do know that the police had made like two separate I don't know if investigation is the right word, but they had like two separate look-ins to this matter over the last couple years. And so I'm pretty sure that they would have been aware of this. But I would have thought that he would have at least sat out the game against a Division II team the night that it happened, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, at least so, do that. I don't know.
It's such a tough situation. Not to say this is okay and that he should continue playing, but I just think it's so complicated.
Yeah, because it's
different. I don't know how to handle it, actually.
Yeah, because we've seen stuff happen around past a year or two about stuff happened years ago. People get fired and stuff like that. But at the very least, if it happened day of the game, just say you're sitting tonight because, first of all, on the basketball side, you're not going to lose to that team. And it gives you, okay, you're going to sit, then we'll discuss it because it happened that day. Why have him play? Because even if he just, not that I agree with it, but, okay, sit to one game, we'll discuss it, and he's back playing versus BYU. Okay, whatever, he's back there on that, but there's no way he should have played the prior game against whatever Domingos Hills is, mm-hmm. whatever it's called. So it's like they could handle it way better, and I kind of get why they're doing it because I'm not going to say they're after him, but when they're – it's not criminally, but it's, what, $3 million? I guess their assumption he might have money someday. Not that that's the only reason why, but that's why people put out a huge lawsuit. I'm going to sue you for $200 million or something when they think a future earnings could be there. But I'm not saying they're just going after his money, but I don't – whatever. Timing happens. It's not – it's just two different locations. Just I think it's fine San Diego police didn't get too involved, but they probably should have called, hey, what happened here? Call up Seattle, what's going on, to kind of get some info. But
yeah,
the high school is in bigger trouble, clearly, for letting this go with this coach. But on Aztec basketball, it's like, just sit him for a little bit. It's like, just chill. Figure, get out, get some more details, let him sit for a game or two, and then go from there. Like, all right, he's out indefinitely. And we saw with New Mexico last year, there's all sorts of players sitting suspended. Like, he's out indefinitely. That just gives you time to do more research, look into it. Maybe he's gone for one game or 10. Maybe he's not on the team. Maybe he is. We saw in New Mexico, we thought, was it Matt Mattis we thought would be done for the year or something last year, but he's back in like a week?
Yeah, there were a number of players last year that had suspensions that they came back. And the other thing that I found interesting, that was one of the first things that came to mind after I saw this, was remember last year when all the FBI stuff came out in February and San Diego State, I believe, was the only team to suspend a player that was listed when Malik Pope sat out a game because he was listed in the FBI scandal. I thought that, again, these are wildly different scenarios, but I think it's interesting that San Diego State was the only program to punish a player or have them sit out a game.
Well, you know why they did that. That's pretty clear. You could lose an ineligible player, lose the game. If they play him for the civil stuff, it's not going to impact eligibility or wins or losses
that is true. I think it's kind of interesting how they've handled these situations. Not to say that it's necessarily bad or necessarily good, but it's a very complicated situation that's going on right now.
All right, well, let's move on to some basketball stuff. It's all optics. It's like, just whatever, have them sit for a little bit and then discuss what to go forward and what should be the proper. But to say nothing, like, oh, it's not our issue because it happened 2,000 miles away is the worst possible explanation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and just to make matters worse, of course he has a younger brother who's a potential top 5 NBA draft pick who's considering San Diego State.
That's so right.
There's that as well.
Yeah, is what, Jaden McDaniels, is that his name? He's considered Aztecs. I saw Arizona, I think Duke as well, probably.
Yeah, I think Kentucky's also involved, but yeah. All right, that's enough on that.
It's just whatever. Be better. Come on. All right. So, should we do a quick sentence on other teams like CSU, UNLV?
Sure. Yeah. Some quick hitters.
All right, so CSU also has a new coach. They're doing okay. They're 5-5. They Nico Medved's doing probably what we thought. However, I'm just glad they broke their 4-game losing streak.
Yeah, me too, even if it was not the prettiest. But I think this team has some potential, and they're still figuring things out, but they should be fine.
Yeah, because they got South Dakota. They got at Long Beach State. They get to play in the good old pyramid out there at the on the ocean there, or close by. New Mexico State. So that's they're about what we thought. We're doing okay, but just squeak goodbye Sam Houston State. Fine, they lost a couple of Pac-12 teams, SIU, but South Dakota State team got them too, so careful, Wolfpack. It's coming.
That's right.
I guess UNLV, they are – here's – I want to talk about UNLV. They're 4-3. It seems like a bad 4-3 because they've lost 3 in a row. They actually had a week off before they host – I guess sort of host BYU this weekend. They played close versus Illinois. They played pretty close to Cincinnati. I think their record – and then LMU loss isn't that bad because LMU is actually pretty good this year. They're playing much better than most people thought. Are they sitting at 10 wins yet, I believe? They are.
I think they're close, aren't they?
They're undefeated for a while. They are 9-1.
Yeah.
They've only losses to UCLA by a blowout. Regardless, that's a people we kind of gave them some crap about losing to LMU because they're like 7th in the West. Or yeah, they're WCC, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Near the bottom. But they haven't beat anybody good. That's the thing. Like, Valpo's pretty good. They lost. Cincy's good. At Illinois, lose. They got BYU, which will be interesting because Nick Emery's back for them after serving a 9-game suspension for... Do you know why he suspended Eli, Nick Emery?
Wasn't it improper benefits?
Do you know what those amazing improper benefits were? it's the most BYU thing ever.
I don't want to say something insensitive.
No, it's nothing. Nothing like a Brandon Davis situation. Nothing like that. Monetary.
No, I have no idea.
The Wizarding World of Harry Potter and use, I believe, of a Volvo.
Wait, what?
Like, it's like $9,000 worth of stuff. Like, I think part of it was tickets to go into the Harry Potter world or something.
Are you kidding me?
Something like that. I think
no
maybe,
way.
Yeah, something where it added up to be a decent amount of change, but it was...
Like this is why he's been suspended?
And why those wins were vacated those past 2 years.
Oh, my God.
About 10 grand of improper benefits, I think it is. But him being back...
Because of the Volkswagen Jetta and a trip to
Harry Potter. Yeah, stuff like that. So.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I'm telling you, the most BYU thing ever, you get a, go to Harry Potter and a mid-range car, maybe, at best. A practical car.
Oh, this is fantastic. I didn't know this.
Yeah, it was
just like under the table money.
Sort of, but more like trips and stuff. So, yeah, so they're actually playing pretty well. They beat Utah, that we mentioned before, beat Utah State. They have been playing pretty good. Like, the West Coast Conference is going to be pretty good. They beat up on, like, they lost to Houston, which is not a bad loss anymore. Illinois State. They lost to Weber State, but that was before Emory came back. I don't know. I don't know UNLV is going to be up to how they're going to handle this. It's sort of at home, and it's one thing I bring this up most importantly because it's a pretty big rival when UNLV hates BYU. So that's why you should watch it on ESPN3 if you have access to that channel.
Yoli Childs and Shakur Jusen's a fun matchup.
Yeah, Yoli Childs. I think he's NCAA Player of the Week a couple weeks ago.
Dang, yeah, he's a good ball player.
He had a posterized dunk versus Utah. I think he was preseason West Coast Player of the Year.
I thought it was. I would be surprised if it wasn't someone from Gonzaga, but
obviously Gonzaga.
but he might have been because Gonzaga is somewhat balanced.
He then Brandon Clark, which San Jose State wished they could have back.
Yeah. Oh God.
But he is a legit NBA prospect. He'll be taken in the draft. I think he tested the waters last year, but he is a freak of athlete. Yes, he was preseason player of the year. Yeah,
that'll be a fun matchup. Yeah,
it could be. Could be a good match. Well, hopefully, because BYU's pretty good. They're getting better with Emory. Tune that game. Like you said, Justin in there. See what Marvin Menzies can do. Oh, I almost made a fun Dave Rice comparison.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Tyler Bischoff does stuff now for, I think, ESPN Las Vegas. I'm on his show time to time. He used to do stuff with us a while back. He put in a little stat on their Facebook page. You may have saw it. I don't know if you saw it or not, but UNLV is 2-17 in last possession shots under 30 seconds.
Ugh.
And I'm like, oh, Dave, the ghost of Dave Rice lingers over the Thomas and Mack.
Do you think a lot of it has to do with Jovan Mooring last year?
Could be. Maybe.
Ugh. Yeah.
But I just thought that. Yeah, that does carry over to last year. It was something ridiculous number. I was going to put Dave Rice much, but I decided not to. So I'd stay away from that one. Anything else? Utah State's doing all right. They're surprising a bit. Can they keep it up, you think, the Aggies?
I think they can keep it up. They've been definitely – I would have to say that they've been the most pleasant, surprisingly team this year. Sam Merrill's been really good, but he's gotten a lot of help, and that's what differentiates Utah State from Wyoming, which is – I think we both had that question heading in. Those two teams have such great players, but how much help would they get? You have guys like Nemias Keita, who's probably been one of the best freshman big men in the entire country this year. Brock Miller's been good. Quinn Taylor's been really solid. You have guys coming off the bench who have been producing. So I really like this Utah State team. I'm excited for when they open conference play against Nevada. That should be a lot of fun.
I me too. Let's go through a couple. There's like three games I want to talk about this week very briefly. Let's just play the BPI game. Oh, I think it's not up yet. Whatever. Cal at Fresno State on Wednesday night, because Cal's only 3-5, but I want, just because Cal beat New Mexico, it's like, come on, Fresno, take care of business.
Yeah.
So we'll see with that. And I think Fresno, plus I want to see, it's the first game without Taylor, correct? Did he play versus Long Beach State?
Second game.
They beat Long Beach State by 21 with him on the bench. So I want to see what they can do versus Cal, because I think Cal's probably a bit better than Long Beach State, at least a little bit. It's at home. And then Utah, the game of the week, I think, you got UNLV BYU, which is Saturday afternoon, which is great. But I want to see Utah State Houston.
Yeah. Oh, that should be a good one too. Yeah.
Because Houston is ranked 24th in one of the polls that I have in front of me, but they're ranked. I wish I had KenPom number up in front of me what that would be, but that would be, would that be like an at large building victory? I'm assuming for the Aggies in the Mountain West.
For sure. Yeah. And this one has kind of come up from behind, because I think not that many expected Houston to be that good. I don't think that they were picked to win the American, and which is somewhat down this year, but Houston has now come from behind, and they're going to likely end up being the highest ranked team that Utah State will play in the non-conference. So right now it's just a 28% chance of Utah State winning, according to KenPom, and it's on the road, and Houston's just such a difficult place to play. I think they've won 22 games in a row at home. But that's a great test for Utah State, and a bit of a warm-up for once they enter conference play, because they have to go on the road to Reno to open league play.
Yeah, because Houston has some pretty good wins. Like, okay, they beat Oregon, who's not very good, but like Oklahoma State, LSU, they got St. Louis this weekend, I believe tomorrow on Saturday at the mid-afternoon game. But that's probably the game I'm most looking forward to the most, because I want to see Utah State could be challenged. Not that they haven't been challenged, they have a couple losses, but a game where, because remember, they almost beat Arizona State, who's ranked top 20. They got blown out by BYU, because I think part of the BYU thing was that was Nick Emery's first game back. And so it's like, he got a bunch of hype, and he's ready to go. And then Yoeli Childs.
BYU just couldn't miss, right?
Yeah, that's Yoeli Childs had 31, and they were – here's the difference that game real quick. 11-24 three-point for BYU, 3-17 Utah State. So, and they shot like 56%, the Cougars did. So I want to see how that game goes. It's on – what channel? It was on ESPN, I believe, this week. I think I'm bouncing around my scheduling here. It is 6 p.m. Mountain Time, so it's 7 Central, 5 Pacific. Oh, wait, I do have the BPI EL. I came across it somehow.
Here we go. Wait for Houston, Utah State?
Yeah, what do you got?
I'm going to say Houston at 79%.
You're getting very good. Perfect.
It was correct?
78.9%.
Oh, man.
So
okay.
I'll give it to you.
All right.
That game also, real quick, ESPN 3. So bust out your Roku, Fire Stick or Chromecast. They're all the same to me.
You're going to have to get the HDMI cable.
I guess if you want to hook up your computer to the TV. I got a Roku TV recently. It's working much better than I thought it would. Very nice. No need for my Chromecast on this TV, so that's good. All right, I think we've exhausted our time on basketball. We've gone about an hour, which is rare for us, I believe, on the hoop side. So we did spend quite a bit on Jalen McDaniels, but we'll see. All right, so
happens if Air Force beats Michigan on Saturday? That's on the 22nd. But
that's next Saturday. Yeah. If we're not back by then, Michigan's number 8 in the country. 5? They're undefeated, aren't they?
Top 5, I think.
You know what that means? Nevada will be ahead of Michigan. That's what will happen the polls.
Okay. Yeah, they're fifth in the poll right now.
True. All right, but there's nothing else here. We'll see. We may be back next week. We're trying to get a schedule down, but we'll probably try to come back every 10 days maybe, every week and a half, every other week or something until league play starts, because schedules and all that fun stuff. But check us out, MWR.com. We got obviously football stuff going on, bowl season, a lot of basketball over the weekend. Look for Nevada stuff, Boise, Fresno, any basketball stuff we try to get to, Aztecs, got plenty of guys for that. Subscribe, obviously. If you made it this far, go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast. Just download it and say, hey, give us a holler and say thanks for listening. And see you next week, folks.